Item six, Matthews Land Conservancy. Just, and you'll note there's a separate binder for this case. A little bit more information than normal. Mike, while you're getting set up, let me just, for the benefit of the newer commission members and the public, note that this is an appeal of a wetlands board decision. And as a result, the procedures that we use are somewhat different in those cases. The decision of this body is based on the existing record, which we have in front of us. We don't open the record to additional information. It can be done, but it takes a majority vote of the commission to open the record. So those of you who will speak to this issue, I would remind you to keep your comments to what is in the existing record. If we find that you're going beyond that, staff will bring that to our attention, and then we'll have to make a decision whether or not to open the record. So with that in mind, the way this will work, staff will brief us on the item, summarizing the record. We'll then hear from the appellants. I'm assuming there's a spokesperson for the appellants, and then we'll hear from the county, and then there'll be a short rebuttal time for the appellants, and then the matter will be before the commission for a decision. It's all yours, Mike.
All right, this is an appeal by 40 freeholders of the Matthews County Wetlands Board decision to approve an installation of a rowing and sailing center on pilings over intertidal wetlands along the East River at 1039 Williams Wharf Road in Matthews County. The location is in, like I said, Matthews County, which is highlighted by the red star here. This is the York River Lower Peninsula, just to give you a frame of reference of the location. This is zooming into the East River, which is off of Mobjack. This is Mobjack Bay here. And it's located on this peninsula here, the location of the project area. This is an aerial photograph that was actually provided by the applicant in one of their presentations to the Wetlands Board, showing the Williams Wharf area. This is the site has been industrialized over the years. It's been used as several different facilities dating back to the 1600s. Shoreline is hardened with either bulkhead, riprap, or vetting pretty much all the way around. And what you see going on right here is actually one of the raising events that is what the Matthews Land Conservancy's goal is to try and support. The appeal by the 40 freeholders of the Matthews County Wetlands Board listed several concerns about the encroachment of the structure over wetlands, that the proposed building is not water dependent and should be located in the uplands, that the rental of the building is for other functions that are not water dependent, an error regarding the encroachment of the Wetlands Board's legal advertisement for a public hearing, and the building size is excessive in terms of what its function should be. Now I'm going to present the record for three public hearings. There's been three held by the Matthews Local Wetlands Board. The first was in January, the second was in May, and then the third was in July. So I'm going to present the record for each of those to try and help you understand the thought process that the Wetlands Board was using in making their final decision in July. This is a site plan showing the existing conditions at the Williams Wharf facility. There were five piers, two on the northern side, two on the western side, and then one on the southern side, and also an old warehouse-type building that was located on the site as well. These four piers here are slated to be demolished to make way for new piers, and this building located here over wetlands and subtidal area has already been demolished. This is the site plan for the proposed facility, showing the building, or rowing and sailing center here, again, spinning over wetlands and subaqueous bottom. Two piers to support racing shells being launched in preparation for races. A T-head pier on the western side to facilitate larger craft to access the area. And the pier down here to the south, which was originally proposed to be extended, has since been, consideration for that extension has been withdrawn. Here's a closer view of the proposed building and and I'm sorry, I meant to mention the riprap revetment and bulkhead that's being also being proposed at the site. This is showing the proposed revetment and bulkhead that was requested by the applicant. It would be 228 linear feet in length, and would result in the filling of 140 square feet of vegetated wetlands. There's a cross section showing the bulkhead, requested riprap revetment in front of the bulkhead for scour protection, and fill behind the bulkhead. This is a drawing of the two proposed 80-foot-long floating piers that you see here, with two 28-foot gangways running from the building decking out to the piers itself. And this is a cross section showing the piers, basically at mean low water, on pilings floating with the gangway going up to the building. And again, this is for access to the racing shells being taken from the maintenance center of the building out to the water. Here's the proposed building. I have some better drawings that show you the layout of the building itself, but basically the building will extend. It'll be about 73 feet with an additional 20 feet of decking sticking out on this side, and 147 feet wide with about another 37 feet of decking on this side. And again, you can see the two piers here. Mean low water is this darker line you see traversing through here. And mean high water comes along and then follows the proposed riprap revetment here. So this is the section that we're currently reviewing for this application in terms of the building and the jurisdiction of the Wetlands Board. This is the proposed T-head pier that was on the western side of the property, 62 feet long with a 100-foot by 14-foot T-head section on it. And again, this is for allowing larger vessels to dock at the facility. And this is just the cross-section showing the existing grade and the pier itself. You can see it's fairly high above mean low water. And this is for larger vessels. This was the proposed 54-foot long extension on the southern side of the property. This pier is actually existing out to about here, and then they're proposing to go another, I think it was a 54 feet, and this would have actually impacted a private oyster lease ground as well. But again, the applicant has withdrawn consideration for this. This is a plan drawing of the building. I realize this is hard to read, and this is the first floor. This is the second floor, and I've actually got a drawing here that helps you see a little bit what the building is going to be intended for. On the first floor, again, you have the observation deck and wood deck. The two piers will be coming off of here. This room here will be for shell storage, racing shell storage, and maintenance. You have a common room over here. Storage facilities, restrooms, catering prep, all on the first floor here. The second floor consists of an observation deck on the outside of the building, a viewing gallery, an open area. I can't remember what the definition of this would be. This just basically is an open area that allows you to look down to the first floor. On this side, you have an erg room, which is a machine room, which is basically rowing machines. I don't know if you've ever seen people actually working on those. That's how they, one of their training exercises, as well as a weight room, showers, men's room, and some other storage and mechanical rooms on the second floor. I apologize for all the bullet slides I'm about to show you, but it's really hard to present all this information that the board was talking about during the hearing, so I'll try and make this as painless as possible. But as a summary of the Wetlands Board January hearing, there was testimony given by the applicant and her agent. And the applicant discussed the function of the building, its encroachment over wetlands, and need for four piers. The board then questioned the applicants about the size of the building, its location of the intertidal areas, and the need for both a bulkhead and riprap revetment. The applicant response was that they had minimized encroachment over the wetlands as much as possible. They had sized the building to support a 60-member rowing team, and explained that the bulkhead and riprap were needed to reinforce the shoreline because the structure would be starting on the uplands and extending out over water, and that they wanted to make sure that the shoreline was stable as possible to prevent undermining of the building. The board then opened up the hearing to public comment, with one person speaking in favor of the benefits of the benefits of the project outweigh the detriments. Four people spoke in opposition to the project, with comments reflecting negative impacts to wetland resources, a lack of water dependency, encroachment of the pier into the southern pier into an oyster lease. The applicant rebutted by stating how important the rowing team is how important the rowing team is to its members and what this building will provide to that rowing team. The lack of upland, and that lack of upland space dictated the amount of encroachment over the wetlands. Basically, they said there was no upland space left. They had to encroach a little bit out over the wetlands. And the building was sized to meet storage requirements of racing shells, which can reach up to 65 feet in length. And that the site will be improved over what existed there before. The board then decided to evaluate and vote separately on each aspect of the project. They approved the Western T-head pier as appropriate access for larger vessels. They approved the two floating piers as appropriate for racing shell access. They approved the riprap revetment but denied the bulkhead, citing a single erosion control structure along that shoreline would be sufficient. At that point, the applicant requested that consideration of the building be tabled to address the board's concerns of wetland encroachment, as the board had already made a motion to possibly deny the application, deny that portion of the application. So they requested a tabling so they could reconsider and possibly revise drawings. And they also requested the board table its consideration of the southern pier at that time. And this will be for the record for the Matthews County public hearing on May 1st. At this hearing, the applicant formally withdrew consideration of the southern pier extension. So now we're just going to see the existing pier as it is now. Here's proposed building, again, in a slightly relocated position. And all these other piers had already been approved, as well as the riprap structure. Again, this is just a drawing showing the riprap revetment with fill behind it, which will result in fill of 140 square feet of vegetated wetlands. Again, mean low water traversing through here, mean high water traversing along the proposed riprap revetment here. Cross-section of the riprap revetment showing it will be above mean low water, and a 2-1 slope with the fill behind. Here's the revised drawings of the proposed building and deck. What the applicants did was they've relocated the building approximately, on average, 18 feet landward of where it was before. It's kind of a pivot, more like, where this side of the building really didn't move too much while this side of the building swung in considerably. Again, there's the plan drawings for the building itself, and I reviewed earlier what these different areas were for. Mean low water coming across here, mean high water up here. This is the second floor, showing again mean low water, mean high water, and the sections of the building that will be encroaching out over wetlands. And that's just the floor plans again. These are some pictures that the applicant had provided to the wetlands board of the site around the building itself. This is looking out to where the T-head pier would be. As you can see, this is one of the old piers that are slated to be demolished. It's a fairly low tide at this point. No vegetated wetlands looking at this side of the project. There's a little bit setback view standing on the other proposed pier that's slated to be demolished. The old building footprint was in this general area here. And again, like I said, it's already been demolished. Looking out from where the building was. And then this is looking over, again, the building was in this general area here. This is one of the piers slated to be demolished. And the vegetated wetlands are just out of sight right here. They're located at the corner of this existing bulkhead here and the existing riprap revetment over here. Summary, the Wetlands Board May hearing was testimony given by the applicant, agent, and counsel, stating the impacts of vegetated wetlands will be mitigated for on-site. Proposed building location has been relocated approximately 18 feet landward of a previous location. A description of the educational programs that will occur on site at the Southern Pier extension proposal was withdrawn by the applicant. The board then took public comment with 12 people speaking in favor of the project. Comments included the project will have minimal impacts on the environment, improvements have already happened on site, rowing scholarship opportunities for students, educational opportunities for local school system, and public waterfront access and economic benefits to the county. No one spoke in opposition to the project at the May hearing, although there were people who spoke in opposition at the January hearing, and they wished to speak at that hearing, but were denied the opportunity by the board, which I'll speak a little bit more to in a minute. The summary of the Wetlands Board then was, with the Wetlands Board consideration, they questioned the loss of 140 square feet of vegetated wetlands. The applicant responded that 960 square feet of vegetated wetlands would be created on site. They questioned the water dependency of the structure. The applicant responded that the racing self-storage room is water-dependent, that the need for water access to facilitate racing and training activities, and that encroachment over wetlands has been minimized as much as possible. The board also questioned other uses of the building, to which the applicant responded, while the building will be available for rent, there will only be about 12 times a year will be available due to land conservancy and rowing activities. The board then unanimously approved the project, or the building as proposed, with the April 10, 2013 revised drawings, with the rationale being that the building will provide a benefit to the public and the impacts to the wetlands are unavoidable, have been minimized, and loss of vegetated wetlands will be mitigated for on-site. As I mentioned a minute ago, the protesters were not allowed to present anything at this hearing. This hearing was actually appealed to the commission at our May hearing as well. And because of that procedural error, we didn't take testimony from the protestants. We remanded it back to the Wetlands Board for further consideration to take testimony at their next public hearing. To which the next public hearing was held on July 24, 2013. These are the same plan view drawings that the board reviewed at their May hearing. The building is in the same location as was proposed back in May with the relocation landing. Again, here's the plan drawing showing the building and the different rooms and functions of the rooms with mean low water and mean high water depicted. The second floor, again, with mean low water, mean high water depicted. And the layout of the proposed building. This is the new information that the board received at the July hearing, which is the compensation plan, which would be creating a salt marsh on site from uplands, which is what we want to see in terms of compensation. The location itself, I should have had a slide in there for that, is actually in this lower corner here. This is where we'll be creating 960 square feet of wetlands, basically removing this riprap revetment, grading the land behind it, and then putting a new riprap revetment in behind it. So here's the existing riprap, those riprap in this area through here will be graded and planted with spartine elm. Summary of the Wetlands Board July hearing, with testimony given by the applicant, agent, and counsel. They mentioned the building plans have not changed from the May hearing. A mitigation monitoring plan for the loss of 140 square feet of vegetated wetlands has been prepared and is undergoing finalization with taking into consideration comments from BIMS. And the sailing and rowing center will not be used, will not only be used for racing events, but fundraising and other activities already approved by the County Board of Supervisors. They took public comment at the hearing, with three people speaking in favor of the project, including the educational benefits to the local school system, the national recognition of the local rowing club, and the positive motivational influence of the rowing club on its members. 10 people spoke in opposition to the project. Comments included the size of the facility, again, is too large for its primary mission, the building is not water-dependent, its encroachment could be reduced by moving the building over land, and questioned if the facility will truly be open for public use, and the building will be rented out for other non-water-dependent activities. The Wetlands Board consideration of the project included the monitoring plan, which included 960 square feet of created vegetated wetlands on site to mitigate the loss of 150 square feet of vegetated wetlands. And then stated also that in May, portions of the building is water-dependent, encroachment over wetlands has been minimized, and that the public benefit provided by the educational and economic opportunities outweigh the public detriment of encroachment over wetlands. Wetlands Board then unanimously approved the project, the building as proposed in the April 10, 2013 revised drawings and stated that a final mitigation plan will need to be submitted and approved by the board. And that's basically the record at this point.
Any questions for Mike at this point?
I have one question. You mentioned the old building. We saw the old dock. And then you mentioned the 140 square foot of wetlands that was going to be disturbed as a result of their plan. My question to you is, with the old building having gone away, were those wetlands gone when the old building was there?
There was unvegetated wetlands underneath the building.
Right.
There, and when they removed it, no vegetated wetlands have come back in. It's still right. Unvegetated intertidal wetlands where that building was at.
Okay, so that because of the building's disappearance, there have been no new wetlands, and that's not part of your 140 square foot computation.
That's right. That was unvegetated wetlands at the time. Okay. So what it is now.
Mike, is the mitigation that's proposed, the 960 acres, is that consistent with state guidelines?
Yes, sir, it is. It's actually about a 6-to-1 ratio, which is a little bit higher than what VINS has recommended in the past in terms of mitigation.
Were there agency comments provided? VINS comments or anything like that on this project? And that's not atypical.
Nowadays, VINS only if you request it.
All right. Any other questions?
The 960, was that on site?
Yes, sir. It's on site and created from uplands, which meets our contract.
Beck, what is the distance between mean high water and the first floor of the building?
And the first floor of the building? Okay. So we got probably about 5 feet, it looks like.
Any other questions? All right, thank you. Mike?
Yes, about 5 feet.
That's all one day out of the building. The storage side, or the other side, is actually about 11.11 feet. The storage side.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, we'll hear from the – is there a representative of the 40 freeholders? Yes, sir. Come on up.
The Matthews County Wetlands Board has conducted 3 public hearings for the Williams Wharf project. At the January public hearing, the Wetlands Board approved the installation of a riprap revetment and 3 multi-use piers. The Board approved the revetment, citing a need for shoreline erosion control, and the 3 proposed piers will provide water access for racing teams and the public. The proposed rowing and sailing center and the 4th pier were tabled at the request of the applicant so they could address the issues raised by the Board, including minimizing the building's encroachment over wetlands. The second public hearing held in May, the Board approved the rowing and sailing center after the applicant revised their plans by relocating the building further landward. The rationale for approval cited by the Board included the portions of the building are water dependent. The building's encroachment over intertidal wetlands has been minimized. The mitigation plan for the loss of vegetated intertidal wetlands has been submitted, and the public benefit of the project outweigh the public detriment. In May, the decision of the local wetlands board was appealed to the commission by 26 freeholders in Matthews County. The appeal was heard at the commission's May meeting. At that meeting, the commission remanded the matter back to the board for further consideration due to procedural errors since the board did not take testimony from all those present at the May hearing. At their July meeting, the wetlands board took additional testimony from the applicant, anybody else who wished to testify in favor or in opposition to the proposed rowing and sailing center. They then approved the center with the additional rationale that the loss of the vegetated wetlands will be appropriately compensated for on site. At their May hearing, the board also considered the rationale that public benefits outweigh the impacts to the wetlands and the applicant had minimized those impacts. After careful review of the record, staff is unable to conclude that the Matthews County Wetlands Board erred in their decision to approve the Rowing and Sailing Center Support Center. Furthermore, the rationale that they provided is consistent with the requirements of 28.2-1302-10B of the Code of Virginia, and all vegetated wetlands will be mitigated for on-site at a ratio of greater than 6-to-1, which is consistent with established guidelines. We believe the board provided proper notice of the hearing, that they appropriately considered and understood the extent of the water-dependent uses of the facility, and that they understood the need for the size and nature of the facility as well as its various uses. As such, staff recommends the commission uphold the decision of Matthews County Local Wetlands Board. Sorry about that.
All right. Any final questions? Mike? All right. Now we'll hear from the freeholders. Let me swear you in. You swear the testimony you will give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
I'm Colonel Steve Wilson, U.S. Army retired, and I have lived at 992 Williams Wharf Road in Matthews for over 16 years. My property adjoins the William Wharf project. The other adjacent property owner and many of our neighbors and fellow freeholders are also here today to speak in opposition to the Rowing and Sailing Center. The Conservancy's stated mission is preserving and protecting Matthews County's priceless natural resources. How does one protect the tidal wetlands, a priceless natural resource, by constructing a huge, non-water-dependent, multi-use facility over 7,300 square feet of wetlands? The figures I use come from the record. They have changed. Although we agree the successful rowing and sailing programs at Williams Wharf should have a facility of reasonable size and scope, the 19,224 square foot structure is too large for the small site, and its modern two-story design is inconsistent with the historic aesthetic nature of Williams Wharf. The Conservancy claims it cannot move the building further inland because it needs room for parking and for maneuvering large cruise shells during three annual regattas. Yet, its published plans in 2005 located the structure primarily over land. In fact, the five examples of rowing centers in Exhibit D of the JPA are all located over land. In effect, the Conservancy is given a higher priority to parking than to tidal wetlands. During its May 1st meeting, the Matthews Wetlands Board erred in its application of VMRC's definition of water dependent. Referring to the rowing center, Mr. Broderson, a board member, stated, at least 50% is water dependent, the crew and boat side and associated facilities for that part of the project. Well, how does a non-water dependent structure become partially water dependent? After discussing the common room, a non-water dependent multi-use area that encroaches over more tidal wetlands than does the crew side, the board incorrectly applied the water dependent definition to the entire structure. It did not readdress the issue on July 24th, even though several speakers in opposition mentioned it. The structure's common room, shell storage room, locker rooms, catering prep area, bathrooms, and exercise area with erg machines are not water dependent and do not need to be in the wetlands. During discussion on encroachment on May the 1st, the vice chairwoman asked about the structure's observation deck, but never got an answer. The board considered only the structure's 3,912 square feet encroachment figure without factoring in the wraparound deck's additional 3,414 square feet. Although several opposition attendees mentioned this issue during the July 24th meeting, the board failed to discuss or readdress the structure's total encroachment before it voted to approve the structure again. In comparing the minutes of the January Wetlands Board meeting with those of May, one wonders what changed. In January, Mr. Broderson stated, quote, I cannot in good conscience approve it to be placed over the wetlands as proposed. It is too major an encroachment, 7,500 square feet just over the wetlands and 10,000 square feet over subaqueous bottom for the whole project, 5,800 for the rowing center. This is just monstrous. Our responsibility is to preserve and protect wetlands insofar as possible. This building can be sited in such a way that it does not impact the wetlands, and I hope the applicant will figure out how to do that, but we cannot approve it in this location with this much impact. It is a commercial building that will be rented for commercial use that is not a use of wetlands that can be justified. Mrs. Walton agreed, stating that the fact it cannot be sited anywhere else is not enough of a justification for placing over the wetlands. The Conservancy moved the structure a small distance landward, but its total encroachment over the tidal wetlands, depending on which figure you use, remains anywhere from 3 to 5 times larger than the structure it replaces. The public and private benefits of the Rowing Center are not sufficiently overwhelming enough to justify its huge size and encroachment. Mr. Smith claimed on the 1st of May the uses of the building would be fairly restricted to rowing activities, asserting many of the available days to use the facility are taken up by crew and sailing programs, which serve a very small portion of the Matthews community. He also stated the amount of open activity that would be beyond that, applying to the Conservancy and school system functions, would be 10 to 12 times a year. Frankly, the common room and catering prep area can be rented by any outside group for non-aquatic related activities when the rowing programs are in session because the center's other facilities are inaccessible to the renters. The Conservancy's brochure advertising Williams Wharf states certain commercial activities can be operated from the wharf with special permission. The brochure also states there are separate guidelines for commercial use and no commercial activity is allowed without a special use permit. Thus, the rowing center's common room and catering prep area, as well as the observation decks, can be rented for commercial activities and non-aquatic activities. In summary, the proposed rowing center is not water dependent, will encroach over anywhere from 6,000 to 7,000 square feet of tidal wetlands, and will be rented for non-aquatic to include commercial activities. Its public and private benefits do not exceed its public and private detriments. We urge the Commission to overturn the Wetlands Board approval of the proposed rowing and sailing center and direct the Conservancy to redesign the center to either eliminate or reduce its encroachment over the tidal wetlands to no more than that of the previous structure demolished in August of 2011. Sir, this concludes my statement.
Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Wilson? Seeing none, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Is the Matthews County Wetlands Board representative? Mr. Kirkowski, right?
Yes, sir.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony you give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So
yes,
you got it.
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Kenneth Kirkowski. I am chairman of the Matthews County Wetland Board. I reside at 121 Enterprise Lane, Foster, Virginia. The board has considered this three times, and although there was initial opposition to the application, with going as far as putting down a motion to deny, however, the changes between the January and May meetings in which the structure was moved and the impact was reduced, plus the ability to compensate on site for loss of wetlands. The applicant conferred with Mr. Walter Priest, who came up with the 960 feet for compensation, as to compensate for other losses of wetland, both tidal and both vegetated and non-vegetated. And that was Mr. Priest's calculation. Priest has were good experience with this, so the board accepted his calculation, and as stated, it was over six times what Governor Gilmore recommended for a loss of vegetated wetlands. There is no requirement for non-vegetated wetland compensation at this time, so it is far in excess. Plus the ability to compensate on site, which is fairly rare for many projects, also assisted the board in its decision. Plus the fact that we had a presentation from the Matthews County School District as to the educational opportunities which will be presented to the students of Matthews County, from elementary to high school levels, will be able to take place at this site. We recently hired a 2013 graduate of Matthews High School, and I asked the young man, did you participate in any educational opportunities at Williams Wharf? And he said, I did. And I asked him, were they worthwhile? And he said, they were. I also asked him, were they ever curtailed due to weather and or space available? And he said, yes, they were. In the past, for the past 35 years, I've been involved in the shellfish hatchery business. I probably conducted hundreds of school tours through facilities. And in the early years, you brought the kids through, and you went and said, this is where we spawn, this is where we have a larval tanks, this is the nursery, this is what baby clams and oysters look like. Thank you for coming down. Now, with the advent of the standards of learning, where we have to have that's just a simple tour, but they have interactive opportunities. We have 8,000 square feet in our current facility. We brought down students from the Portsmouth School District, setting up 25 microscopes and having the students participate in various things.
Hold up, Ken.
Okay, I will withdraw that. So, basically, the opportunity for the school children at Matthews to participate in this site also help outweigh the private loss, the public loss of wetlands for this facility. Any questions for
me? Any questions, Mr. Kirkowski?
Mr. Tank.
In the appellant's testimony you just heard, there seems to be some discrepancy about the amount of wetlands disturbed. I think the appellant mentioned 7,300. And how did your board deal with, how did you all arrive at your 140 square foot when the appellant is on a,
that is
a whole nother?
140 is the amount of loss due to vegetated, and the 7,000 or 5,000, which however you wish to, is total wetland loss. Being as we are only required at this time to compensate for vegetated, the 140 square feet was to be compensated for. And as I said, Mr. Priest calculated out that other losses on the site came to 960, so that's what they decided to compensate for with a more than six time ratio of vegetated to compensated area.
Any other questions?
Mr. Plummer. So what, in talking about the larger figure, you're talking about the coverage from the floating docks?
Yes.
The in addition to the building structure. Is that accurate?
I do believe, yes.
And sir, that's total wetlands, vegetated and non-vegetated.
Yes, sir. Mr. Sessoms.
Quick question. And how did your board view the building being water dependent?
We viewed it as being predominantly water dependent. We asked the, of course, you have observation decks and so on, which is water dependent. Then we had the rowing area for the shells and so on. The exercise area is on the second floor above the rowing area. Then as our main concern was the out of or the potential usage for other events, fundraising, and so on, and the event that it was restricted to just a handful of occasions per year, we felt that it was reasonable to allow such usage.
Was there discussion about the types of events that might occur 10 to 12 times a year?
There was a presentation in the January meeting that a variety of different events could be held there. And during May, in other words, we just asked about, in general, the other uses as in general concerning the percentage that would be allegedly commercial as opposed to growing or educational opportunity. We didn't differentiate between, let's say, weddings or.
Okay. Any other questions? All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
I saw another hand up over here that wished to speak.
Just on behalf of the Land Conservancy, the applicants.
All right. Go ahead. As long as you keep it to the record, I assume you're an attorney?
Yes, sir. Sorry. Yes, sir. Lee Stevens here on behalf of the Matthews Land Conservancy. I do have the president of the Land Conservancy as well as the engineer, as well as the wetlands engineer here for any specific questions y'all may have. But obviously the style of this particular proceeding is one of an appeal as to the procedure that went on. 28.2-1313, I think, gives you all pretty clear guidance on it. I would just suggest that there have been three fully vetted times before the Wetlands Board.
I would suggest that it was a conscientious, hard thought, hard worked discussion that, frankly, this board would be hard pressed to reproduce as much thoroughness that they went through. For almost 20 years now, this whole project has been going forward. It's something that the Matthews community has endorsed. I'm sorry that the next door neighbors and some of their friends are not enthusiastic for this, but the vast majority of the community is. It's going to be a tremendous benefit to the Chesapeake Bay. When the Matthews Land Conservancy started, or Matthews started their rowing program back in 1985, there were none on the Chesapeake Bay. Now there are a number of them, many of which have spawned from alumni of this organization. So I would just suggest that this 501c3 that's been struggling for these many years to try to get to this point, this is not a profit-making venture. Yes, there may be opportunities for some fundraising, but any charity that doesn't raise funds is more detriment than it is benefit. So they have taken this property. They've put a perpetual conservation easement on it so that it will be open to the public forever. This is not one of those private conservation easements. It is open to the public into perpetuity. This structure, these piers, will provide an opportunity for not only the rowing and sailing to occur, but for folks to come and witness this sport, to see it happen. I would encourage y'all are the arbiter here, but it seems to me that the Wetlands Board has done a remarkable job in going through this, and I would encourage upholding and going with staff recommendations. If there are other questions, again, we have a raft of experts here, but thank you for your attention.
Mr. Plumlee.
I'd just like somebody to tell me a little bit about the building. What is
it? Sure.
Great. If you don't mind just giving a general description, that'd be great.
I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Please state your name.
James Smith. I live off of Williams Wharf Road. When I moved to Matthews County, it was Williams Wharf Road, and they changed it 911. I have an address now of 103 Birchie Lane. The building itself, yes, it has two sides. As some people mentioned, we listed several examples of buildings in our brochure or our application. And those buildings were to show what a rowing building, exists, what purpose it has, what uses it has, what functions, what rooms, so on. It wasn't to show that all rowing buildings have to be over top of the water. There's a common room on the up there. It's on the left-hand side. That's where they do gathering, exercise, they hold their meetings with their parents, their awards, their team meetings, so on and so forth. When we have a regatta, that's used for the coaching staff, the officials that come. It is a common room that is like a lounge, a meeting place. Then on the right-hand side, there's rowing shells, storage. The question was about the height of the building. The building is, at that side, is 5.5 feet off the water. It is designed to be able to flood if that happens. Everything is above 11.5 feet, the electrical and everything in that piece. It strictly is for rowing shells. They're 65 feet, or they can be 65 feet long. So, you know, the question of the size of the building, you can't stick a 65-foot long building or a shell in a 40-foot long building. The other thing is that when you carry those shells and you have six people underneath of them, you tilt. So when you try to raise it up 11.5 feet, you got to start way back here on a ramp, and try to get it in. Then you got to come out the other side. So the elevation of that side is particularly designed to have the shells come in one way and out the other. You can't turn a shell 65 foot long in a building. And then when you come out the other side, you have to be able to get out on a platform and get down to the floating dock. The second floor, when you talk about the square footage, it is a two-story building. Above the rowing shell side has an erg room, which is a simulated rowing machine. The rowing program now is a 12-month-a-year program. They just got back from Canada. They were at the Canadian Henleys with great success. They go to the Independence Day Regatta in...
I was wondering, there was a mention in the record about the sustainability of the structure or something with regards to the educational quality of studying the structure itself. Was that brought up in the record?
Yes, it is. It's outlined in there. The Land Conservancy, when we took on the project, we hired a sustainable design development consultant to look at the cost of operation of the building. We're in a unique situation, just like a school system. We are paying for the building itself. We will be operating it, and it will be a long-term maintenance issue for us. We wanted to make sure it was energy efficient, it was green, so to speak, it had new technologies and integrated as much energy savings and usage opportunities in it. And with that, we decided to hire another consulting group to follow that and map that process, and they turned that into a curriculum development. So they can watch the students at the high school and the community college level can now watch the Land Conservancy as they decided to do the building, understand the design process, follow the construction, and then monitor the operation of that building later. It has solar, it has rainwater recapturing, it has geothermal heating system. And the goal was to reduce the energy consumption from an initial building from standard building codes by 50%. We met a goal of 62%. Now, when the building's finished, there'll be a monitoring system. There'll be a solar panels on the roof. There'll be rainwater recapturing. And that whole system will be integrated into the school system. So the school from K through 12 can come down. They can see how rainwater's recaptured, where it's used in the building. They can see solar. They can monitor it from the school system. We've put up cameras that they will be watching the process of construction. And then on an educational basis, we have given the school system the opportunity to work with us at the site and integrate anything they needed in the building or the site. So they want to do some oyster culture, aquaculture from oysters underneath the building. They want to use the building like Ken was talking about, coming in and having on-site educational components about sustainable design development, green technologies, environmental things. They will be watching the mitigation. That's why we wanted to have the mitigation plan on site and monitoring that over a long period of time.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Wilson, it's back to you for rebuttal. Any points you heard you want to rebut, we'll give you a few minutes to do that, and then the matter will be before the commission.
On the issue of water dependency, the commissioner's asked to clarify that. You cannot say that shell storage is water dependent, a shell storage area. You cannot say a common room that is to be used for multi-use activities is water dependent. The building itself cannot be termed water dependent, and that is where we feel there was a terrific error on the part of the Wetlands Board in applying that definition so that it could be approved. The other issue is total encroachment. Now, the previous building that was demolished in August of 2007 had basically an encroachment of anywhere from 1,400 to 1,600 square foot. You take a look at this building now, even though it's been relocated, it's still a factor of 3 to 4 times more encroachment over tidal wetlands than the building it is designed to replace. So we ask you to consider that. The fact that the common room can be rented, and I guarantee will be rented or leased out for more than 10, 12, or 12 times a year to other outfits. In fact, during the January meeting, Mr. Smith did ask the Wetlands Board, wouldn't you like to have a wedding reception in this building? That's an example of one of the non-aquatic related activities that could be used in the common room. It is those points I want to emphasize.
Thank you. Any final questions?
Thank you, sir.
That's the end of the testimony. Can the staff provide us with some additional information on the issue of water dependency and where you view this situation?
I think the board is asked to consider that aspect of the project. And I'd just like to back up a little bit and talk about maybe where that kind of comes from with regard to the policy, the standards, and the guidelines that are in the law, and the way the board's asked to look at projects. Certainly, they're asked to look at the direct impacts and to justify the impacts to wetlands. They're also challenged to consider the public and private benefits due to that use of wetlands. And then if there are any losses to wetlands, apply the mitigation compensation criteria that this and guidance that this commission has adopted. And it's in those that guidance that it suggests that the board should be permitting things that are water-dependent in nature to qualify for approval of the project. But then we have to look a little bit further, I think, at the commission's definition of water dependency. The actual definition wasn't in the wetlands guidelines for mitigation compensation, but that later the commission discussed and voted on what they would consider water dependency to be. And it was probably more related to our use of submerged lands, but I think as folks have looked at the commission's definition of water dependency, they've applied that definition for wetlands and submerged lands projects. And I'm going to read to you the commission's definition for our subaqueous guidelines and then some caveats that go with that that's in the guidance that the commission adopted. As defined by the commission, water dependent means those structures and activities that must be located in, on, or over state-owned submerged lands. When applying this definition, both the following questions must be answered affirmatively. Is it necessary that the structure be located over water? And is it necessary that the activity associated with the structure be over the water? Obviously, in this case, you have a rowing facility, and the degree to which it's necessary, I guess, is debatable, and that's a factor for consideration. However, the definition and the commission's consideration goes on. It says use of the definition for water dependency does not necessarily preclude issuance of a permit for non-water dependent structures over state-owned submerged land. At public hearing, the commission may determine that while a structure is not water dependent, it is a reasonable use of state-owned submerged lands. These types of projects are evaluated on a case-by-case basis. So if you look at the commission's direction on how it applies the definition for submerged lands and you use that definition for the wetlands guidance and the mitigation compensation guidance, I think you have to consider it as a whole as well. I think that's appropriate.
Very helpful.
Hopefully
thank
you. That helps.
Thank you. Any questions for Tony? All right. Let me draw the commission's attention to 28.2-1313 of the Code of Virginia that directs the commission how we proceed from this point. It says, when the commission to modify, remand, or reverse decision of the Wetlands Board, the commission shall modify, remand, or reverse the decision of the Wetlands Board if, one, the Wetlands Board in reaching its decision failed to fulfill its responsibility under the Wetland Zoning Ordinance, or two, the substantial rights of the appellant or the applicant have been prejudiced because the findings, conclusions, or the decisions of the board are, one, in violation of constitutional provisions, b, in excess of statutory authority or jurisdiction of the Wetlands Board, c, made upon unlawful procedure, d, affected by other error of law, e, unsupported by the evidence on the record considered as a whole, or f, arbitrary, capricious, or an abuse of discretion. So with that guidance, the matter is before the commission. Mr. Sessom.
I'm just going to make a statement. It seems to me that the Wetlands Board has not met any of that criteria to remand it. I mean, it appears as though they've been very thorough. They've looked at all the issues, and I feel like they've done a good job.
Any other comments?
I thought the board acted very responsibly in, under the circumstances, made requests for mitigation, received mitigation, took it through lengthy hearings. The issue about water dependency, having, you know, prep rooms for banquets, that sort of thing, a conservancy wants to perpetuate what it does. It needs to make money to do it. The educational value of it, the conservancy value of it is still there. That is part of its function. It's a critical part of its function. It doesn't take away from it. It may disappoint people that live near it that they're going to have to deal with this neighbor, a new neighbor. But the plans that are being submitted are excellent plans. And you had a, I think it would be error for us to change what your wetlands board did. We have few wetlands boards out there doing this kind of work in the state who live in the community and hear it firsthand and have to deal with the results of their decision. And I think it would be error for us to overturn what they did.
Mr. Tanker. Along those lines, when we look at the work of the Wetlands Board, I think it's clear that they've worked through a lot of information, a lot of issues, and they've taken into account the justification for this facility. I mean, that's part of the balancing act for us is there is some wetlands deterioration or a component, 100, some would say 140 square foot of vegetated wetlands that will be trod upon. And they have, the board has made sure that we have now a 960 square foot of remediation, which is far and above what the state requires. And then we have to, I think, so on the other side, they've also demonstrated, the applicant here has demonstrated, the school board has come to them and said, this is a positive for our community. It's a rural community, and I think people have to take advantage of the assets they have. And being near the water and on the water for this community is probably, since 1600, it's been quite an asset. And I think at this point, this is a good 21st century use of this asset. We can see from the photos that this area has had an industrial slash commercial past. I don't think we're changing historically the amount of use or the amount of impact here by any means. I would have a tendency when we consider 28.2.13.13 to think there's no need, nothing here that would make me want to remand this or to revoke. I would have a tendency to uphold. If at any time you want me to make a motion, I would do so.
See.
Should I do that? Mm-hmm. Thus, I would make an uphold move to uphold the decision of the Matthews County Wetland Board. This is a reasonable use of wetlands, and I think that it will be valuable to the community.
Second. Second by Mr. Plumlee. Everyone understand the motion? Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries unanimously, and the decision of the Wetlands Board is upheld.